We begin the current daf Masechta Beis daf Lamed Daled. We begin on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Beis, three lines up from the bottom of Yamed, where the Gemara continues discussing and finalizing the last statement of the Mishnah on the previous daf. And that is, the Mishnah was speaking about different ways of making fire which are forbidden to do on Yom because of Moilid, although one could cook and one could do Havara, but however one cannot create the initial light, the initial fire that it is, because of is creating a new entity which is rabbinically forbidden. And one of the ways that it said it was forbidden to do was to do it by making the fire through tiles. Now, that the Mishnah concluded, related to that regarding tiles, was ve'ema labdin eser ofim. One cannot fire up, which is what liban is, making it white, the tiles so that they get all hot, so that you can roast food, you can roast meat on those tiles. So on that, the Gemara asks, my covet, what is wrong? What is the person doing? You're allowed to put a pot on the fire and roast food inside over there, or on a spit or something else that's going to get hot. Why can't you fire up the tiles so that you can roast meat on that? So that the Gemara gives two interpretations. Amr Rabba B'chanan B'yechanan, he says, Hacha b'rafim chadash maskinan. They're both saying, these two interpretations, that we're talking about new tiles. Now, why would that be a reason to make it forbidden to fire it up to get it all white? And the reason is, we continue to tapal amadal madal, shetzarach lebadkan, because you first have to check the tiles, if they're strong enough to withstand the liban process, which is very hot fire. Now, that's why in Yom Tov you can't use these new tiles, because maybe they're not going to be strong enough. Maybe they're going to break. What comes out is, that means that your malacha that you're doing is not for tzarach Yom Tov. Because if it ends up breaking, that means you weren't doing it for a Yom Tov purpose, and therefore we have to suspect that maybe they're not going to be strong enough, and therefore you can't use it, because then it comes out that you were doing a malacha for a non-Yom Tov purpose. Rather, we have to use old ones that we know are strong enough, and therefore we know that what we're doing is of heating it up is for a Yom Tov purpose of then being able to roast the meat on that. Ramila, there are those that say a different interpretation. The reason why you cannot use new tiles is because you first have to harden them, which is the first heating of the tiles strengthens it and makes it hard. Now, therefore, although that you need it for the Yom Tov purposes of roasting the meat on it, but however, since this first heating of it makes it into a utensil, so that's forbidden, because we're not allowed to make a kli on Yom Tov, even though we're allowed to do melachas ve'echol nefesh. And therefore, since this first heating of these new tiles will turn it into a utensil, because that's what the first heating does, that's why it's forbidden to use these new tiles to heat them up to roast the meat on that. Now, related to this discussion regarding the two different interpretations, the Gemara brings the following discussion. Tanahasim, we learned over there in the Mishnah of Masechtas Chulin and Perek Elu Treifis that says as follows. Dirasa, if a person stepped on a bird, Oisha Trafa, or he threw it and he banged it by Kaisel into the wall, Oisha Ritzatzta Behema, or if he banged an animal, Mafarcheses, and now it's shaking, and however, it cannot stand. It looks like it got a real good bang. Now, however, if the shasa mi'ace li'ace, if it survived for another 24 hours, for one complete day after it got this bang, ushchata, then you slaughtered kasher, then it's going to be kasher. Now, however, Amar Blazer Rebbeyanim, Meshur Blazer Ben Atignus, he says, but tzricha bedika, it still has to be checked. In other words, when it survived for 24 hours, you still have to check after it was slaughtered to see maybe when it was banged, maybe that it broke from the majority of its bones, or maybe the spine broke, which has the spinal cord there, or one of the other signs of treifus. When the problem is when you bang the bird or the animal, maybe it's got a mortal defect, which if that's fatal, that means to say that it's a treifa, it's not kosher. Now, however, even though you're checking after you slaughtered to make sure that you don't see anything that's obvious to say that it has a treifus, it still has to survive first for 24 hours. Because if it doesn't wait for 24 hours, doesn't survive that long, even if the person slaughtered and he checked to see and he doesn't find any obvious signs of treifus, it's still going to be not kosher. Because this is one of the 18 types of treifus, which is called risukevarm, when the limbs get shaken, get banged up, where although there's no sign that's obvious that there's something treifus, just the fact that it got banged is a sign of that it could be treifus. Now, therefore, the sign of it being kosher is, if it survived for 24 hours, then you know for a fact that it's a varm, its limbs were not shaken up, it did not come dislocated, hence making it a treifum. Now, that's what the Rabbanan know, that they're Messiah from Sinai, where the risuk of a varm, of an animal, if it has this simon of tarfus by having all the bones dislocated, it will not survive 24 hours. And therefore, if you wait 24 hours and you don't see any other obvious mortal defects, then it's going to be kosher. However, regarding other simon of tarfus in the animal, actually the animal can live up to 12 months. But here regarding the risuk ivarim, this of banging it, where that is one of the things of it being a mortal defect, it could be a trefa. However, if it survives 24 hours, which that means it's not included in that category anymore, and you check to make sure that when it got banged, let's say the lungs didn't get pierced or some other obvious signs of tarfas, then the animal is going to be kosher. Now, related to this Mishnah, the Gemara says, "Bayimenei Rabbi Yirmiyah min Rabbi Zeira." So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zeira the following question. Regarding this type of animal that we just discussed, of where it gets banged up, and you wait 24 hours, and then you, if you check, you don't find any tarfas, then it's going to be kosher. Ma'u l'shach to be yamtim. What's the halacha? Can you slaughter such an animal or bird on Yom Tov? In other words, do we have to suspect that since we know halachically we have to check the animal because there's what's called a reyasa, there's some type of suspicion regarding this animal that maybe it's not kosher because it got banged up. There's reason to believe that it's not going to be kosher, and that's why you first have to wait 24 hours and then go ahead and check it. So are you allowed to slaughter such an animal? As he explains the question. Do we assume that there's something wrong with this animal, and therefore we have to suspect that maybe we're going to be doing a malacha, that of slaughtering biyamtiv on yamtiv, because maybe we're going to find that it's a trefa, it's a non-kosher animal, and it comes out that you slaughtered, which is a malacha on yamtiv, for a non-yamtiv purpose. And therefore, maybe you're not allowed to slaughter it, or maybe not, and that is regards to regular animals. Although there might be that it's trefa too, however, by other animals, even if we actually do check, we check the animals afterwards to make sure that it's not a trefa, but that's only because we're being machmer in ourselves. However, essentially, there's a raiv that majority of animals are not trefa, and therefore we're allowed to slaughter a regular animal on Yom Tov, even though it might be trefa. But we could assume, based on the majority, that it's going to be for a Yom Tov need. However, the question is that he was asking, what would the halacha be over here? Here it's not necessarily, should we assume that maybe because of this bang that it got, and therefore we have to check, not just that we're machmen ourselves, there is no rive necessarily, that maybe here it's not going to be kosher, and therefore we can't slaughter the animal on Yom Tov. So Amalisa, he responded to him, Tanina, we learned in our Mishnah, and this is what he was bringing, and that's why we're introducing this discussion over here. We learned in our Mishnah, Eim alabnin esareofim lislisben. He said, we're not allowed to fire up these tiles to then go ahead and roast them. Now, Vavinaban, we had asked regarding that halacha, my cover, what's the person doing wrong? Why can't he? You're allowed to fire up a pot or whatever it is to roast meat. Why can't you use these tiles? Now, Vamar Rabbi B'chanam Rabbi Yechanon, Hachabir Afim Chadash Maskinan, and they had explained, oh, the reason why is because they're talking about new tiles. And the reason why you can't use new tiles is, and they should tzarech lebatkan, because you're going to have to check them, and that is maybe it might crack and it's not going to be strong enough. Now, so what he's bringing arrive from our mission is that obviously that we are what's called machzik reyes. So we do assume that it's something's wrong with it. It is a little defective. There's something maybe not so great about it. And therefore, because of the stringency of the halachas of Yom Tov, we do not allow the person to fire it up because it might crack. And hence it's going to come out that you were doing a malacha for a non-Yom Tov purpose if it cracks. And therefore, that would answer your question too, that you cannot slaughter these animals because if it got banged, and there is a reyesa here that maybe it's not going to be kosher, then you can't slaughter it, because we do have to suspect, as we say in our Mishnah. So Amalesa, he responded to him, he says, no, there's no raya from our Mishnah, because Anan, we go like the other interpretation in the Gemara said. We interpret the reason why you can't fire up these new tiles is not because we're concerned it's going to crack. Rather, we're not concerned. And therefore, the same thing maybe by the shchit over here, by these animals, you would be able to slaughter the animals. We learn it's because most definitely you're doing something wrong on Yom Tov, which is creating it into a utensil. As we said, the other interpretation holds that firing it up turns it into a kli, and therefore there's no raya to the question that he was asking him based on his interpretation. So if your interpretation is based on the chashash, then there is a raya, you see your chashash. But if you make it on based on chasman, that it's just it turns it into a kli, which is definite, that's why you can't do it. But here where it's a chashash, maybe they actually would be permitted to slaughter these animals on Yom Tov, and you don't have to suspect that maybe it's going to be a trefa. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara brings Tanya, you learn the Braisa. Echad may be a sur. If one person is talking about a bunch of people that are involved in cooking something, so it says, Echad may be a sur, one person brings the fire. The Echad may be a sur, another one brings the wood. The Echad Shevis is a Gedera, another one puts the pot on top of the fire, where he's putting an empty pot on the fire. The Echad Mevis Amayim, one person brings the water. The Echad Nisim B'Teichatam, another person brings the spices inside of that. The Echad Megis, and another one is mixing it around with a spoon. Kulan Chayav, and they're all Chayav for doing an Isser on Shabbos. Now, the reason for this is because each one is doing a component that's going to be Asr. The one, let's say, who is bringing the fire. So he's going to be Chayav for Havara. he's igniting because when he's bringing the coal, as he's walking, it's going to, from the wind that he's walking with, is going to make it ignite more. So therefore, that's Hamalach HaVavar. The one who's bringing the wood to the fire, he also, when he puts the wood into the fire, so he's doing Maver, he's igniting, then he's kindling the wood. The one who puts the pot on top of the fire, the Gemara later on will explain what Isser is he doing. The one who brings the water and the spices and the one who mixes the pot, all of them are doing some component of bishul, of cooking, which is also av malacha. So therefore, they're all chayiv for doing a malacha on Shabbos. Now that the Gemara asked, but Ratanya, wouldn't the Braisa that says this whole entire case, that one person brings this and one person brings that, and the Braisa there concludes, achron chayiv. Only the last one is chayiv, v'kulam maturin, then they're all exempt. So how do we resolve that contradiction? Now the Gemara says, loikash, not a contradiction, because Ha, the first Braisa says that Ol Chayiv is the Icy Urmi Ikara, is talking about where the first person who came was the one who brought the fire. Therefore, that comes out that everybody, as we explained and as we'll explain for the one who puts on the pot, they're all doing some of Malacha. Because if the first one came with the fire, so the wood now is adding to the fire, he's also doing Avar. The one who's putting in the water and mixing, they're all doing Bishul now because the fire is already there. Ha, the one that says that only the last one is chayiv is the icy Ur L'Besoif. Actually, that is the last one who comes, is the one that brings the fire. So he's the only one that's doing a malacha. The other ones didn't do anything. If you're bringing a pot where there's no fire, so you didn't do anything. If you're putting in water, if you're putting in the spices, if you're mixing and there's no fire underneath, you're not doing anything. So essentially, if it's the last one who's doing the fire, he's the only one that's doing the malacha on Shabbos. And that's why that Braisa said he's the only one that's chayiv. Now, the Gemara asks, Bishle Mekulu Kavdi Maise. So that's how we resolve the two braises. So now we're going back on the braises, says they're all going to be chayiv because they're all doing somewhat of malacha. So that the Gemara asks, so we could understand that regarding the one that says that they're all chayiv is because they're all doing somewhat of malacha as we'd explained. El Shafis is a gederi my kovet, but we didn't explain what is the one who's putting the pot on top, what malacha is he doing? We're talking about that there's no food inside yet. They come later, the food. So what malacha are you doing by putting a pot on the fire? So Amrishim ben Lakish, he says, Hocha begeder chadash askina. Now this is where it comes in to the previous sugya. We're talking about that he's putting on a new pot on the fire, where it's empty, and the reason why is what he's doing what we called before in the sugya, lachasma. He's finishing off, he's creating it into a pot, umishum liban ra'afim nagaba. Essentially, this is the same halacha that we said in our Mishnah, why you can't bring those new tiles and go ahead and fire them up to roast meat on it, is because, at least according to the second interpretation that we said, was because that when we fire that up, that's going to be turning it into a kli, that's going to be the same thing with the new pot, or even like the other interpretation. If you say it's because it might break, here also it might break, you might be doing a malacha for a non-yamtiv purpose, and therefore, that's going to be usher to be done, even though it's a new pot and there's no food inside of it. It's the fact that it's a new pot, that you're creating a mana, you're creating a kli, that's why it's forbidden, even with an empty pot. And that's why all of them are going to be chayv, because they're all doing somewhat of malacha. Now, related to this discussion of what we're talking about, lechasman, about finishing off by doing the first firing, you're finishing off a certain appliance or a tool or utensil, so the Gemara brings the following discussion. Tarabon, Linda Brysa. Tanavikiraim Chadashim, regarding a new oven, a new stove, and most definitely this heter will apply if it's an old oven or stove. Harehin kukala kelim anitalin. So they're like any utensil that can be moved around on Shabbos. They're not considered muktzah because it has utility. If it's bechatzer, if it's in a courtyard where it's fit to then put things inside of it, where it's not in the area that you can't use. So therefore, since in such an area, you can move it around. Aval, however, in Sachan Oisim Shemin, you cannot smear it, you cannot anoint it with oil, which would be to smooth it and to shine it. Ve'ein Tashan Oisim Matlis, you cannot smooth it out with a cloth. And Ve'ein, one cannot, after the oven got heated up, Mefigan Oisim, you can't cool it down, but Tzoinin, with cold, Kedei Lachasman, to then harden it. Because after something gets heated up, and then you put something cold in it, that hardens it, and that is all because of all these halachas that we said, that you cannot anoint it with oil, or you can't smear it down with this cloth, and also this halacha about putting cold in it after that it was heated up, is because all of them finish, they solidify the utensil, thereby making a kli, which is forbidden to be done on Shabbos. Now, v'im, however, if the cooling down is done, b'shvil lefes, if a person wants to bake, and we're talking about on Yom Tov, where it got heated up very much, and he's concerned that if it's so hot, it's going to burn the bread he's trying to make, then harizim mutter, then it's permitted to go ahead and cool it down because of the need for the oichal nefesh of Yom Tov. But if not, and this is where this discussion comes in, you're not allowed to put in the cold to cool it down because that's lachasman. Again, that's going to harden it and turn it into a kli, which is forbidden to do on Yom Tov. Again, related to this discussion, the Gemara says, Trabon linda b'raisa. Mulgin, we're allowed to go ahead and heat up with hot water the head and the feet. We could also singe it in fire, and this is to get rid of the hairs that are on the chicken, on the different things that you want to eat. However, you're not allowed to go ahead and spread on it this type of charsis, which is a type of a lime, neither with earth, and not with lime. And again, all these purposes are also to get rid of the hairs from the meat. And that the reason why you can't do it that way is because that's the way those who are the tanners, that's how they do it, which is looks like a malacha, and therefore you cannot do that way on Yom Tov. And the ink goes nice and misbrim, you also can't cut it off with scissors again, because that looks like you need the hair, and that's not permitted. Again, what you're allowed to do is for echel nefesh purposes. So he said you're allowed to go ahead and do mailig or be mahavavit, because then you could tell that you're just trying to clean off the chicken. But if you're doing it in these other ways, they look like they're uvdin nechel type of ways, and that's not Yom Tov, that would be aser. Related, a person is not allowed to go ahead and cut off from the vegetables that are already detached from the ground, where they have these leaves on the top that are already spoiled and rotten. You can't cut that off with the scissors that are generally used to cut off these vegetables from the ground when they're attached, because whoever sees you using the scissors are going to think, oh, I know that tool. That tool is used to cut them from the ground. It's going to look like that you cut off from attached to the ground on Yom Tov, which that's forbidden. Therefore, you can't use those scissors. Aval, but related halacha, misaknin es akundis ves akovius. You're allowed to go ahead and fix these two vegetables, kundis and akovius, which although there's a lot of effort that goes on to making them, preparing them for Yom Tov, still it's permitted for eichel nefesh on Yom Tov. Another had to masikin va'ifin bepurne. We're allowed to go ahead and heat up and bake in a purne, which are these large types of ovens, which their opening is on the side, which the chiddush that the Bryce is saying is that we're not concerned about the great effort that goes into when you use such a large commercial oven, because if someone has a lot of people, a lot of mouths to feed, a lot of guests on Yom Tov, it's not going to be enough to use their classic tana, which was small. And therefore, you're allowed to go ahead and use a purne, a large oven, on Yom Tov. And another had to, umechamen chamen b'antichi, you're allowed to go ahead and heat up hot water in this antichi. However, you're not allowed to bake in this a new purne, new large oven. Shema tifchas, again, this is how it comes related to the discussion that we had before, which is one of the interpretations why we said we can't heat up these new tiles, is because it might break. Same thing over here, these new large ovens, since it's new, and you're going to heat it up, and then it's going to break, it's going to come out that the malocha that you did, the effort that you put into it, was for a non-Yom Tov need. Therefore, you cannot go ahead and use these new large ovens for the first time on Yom Tov. Again, related to this discussion, Tarabon Olin Lebraisa. Ein neifchen b'mapuach. We're not allowed to go ahead and blow the billow, the fires that are there, with a mapuach, which is a special tool that's used for that. Again, because that looks like you're doing a malacha type of a thing. Ava neifchen b'shveferes, but you can blow it with a straw. That's something that's not normally used by professionals. Ve'ein mesaknes ha-shapud. Another thing that you cannot do, you cannot fix a spit that's used to roast the meat on Yom Tov, which either that's not going like Rabbi Yehuda, who holds you could do Eichel Nefesh, even Machshiri Eichel Nefesh, which would allow to fix the spit on Yom Tov, either we're not going like him, or it's like Rabbi Yehuda, but it's Toma that it could have been done from before Yom Tov, which as we explained in the previous daf, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that if it could have been done, then you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. And the Eimechad Noisei also cannot sharpen the spit on Yom Tov. So Gemara continues with this discussion, that Trabban Lin Labraisa, Eimechatzin Esakana, you're not allowed to peel reeds, which because you want to take off the membrane, the outside part of the reeds, to put it beneath the salted fish that you're roasting on the griddle, lislis by melech, to roast the salted fish. And the reason is because by doing that, you're making that membrane of the reed into a clean to utensil. Because anything that you need for utility, and you're fixing that, is essentially considered tick and clean, like you're fixing that. So therefore, by doing that process of getting off the top part of the reed, is going to be considered making a kli, which is this layer that you put on the griddle, and therefore that's forbidden to do on Yom Tov. Aval mefatzen es ha'egus b'matlis, but you could crack a nut with a cloth on Yom Tov. Ve'in cheshen shem etikara, and you're not concerned that maybe the cloth is going to rip. And the reason is because even the cloth does rip, it doesn't concern us, because that's not the malocha d'oraisa of kireya, which is only amanas lit for. The malacha d'oraisa is only if you rip it with the intention of you ripping it so that you could sew it back together to make it better. Here, when you're cracking the nut, your intention is not to rip it, because even if it rips, your intention is not to rip it. But even if it rips, your intention is not that you could rip it so that you could put it back together again. It was just there in the process of breaking the nut. And therefore, we allow you to do that on Yom Tov. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah of Muktza on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah tells us, V'oid Amir B'Eliezer, and moreover B'Eliezer says, and the reason why I use the term V'oid is because since in the previous Mishnah, he already told us one leniency regarding Muktza, which was regarding those splinters about using it for using as a toothpick on Yom Tov. So here he goes, he says another leniency. He says, Oymen Odom Ala Muktza, a person can stand on things that are muktzah. In other words, what that means is that when it's muktzah, it means to say that it's things that they have to be designated to use it for Yom Tov, because or else they're going to be muktzah. Now, that is what he's saying, that preparation helps. For example, let's say in the case where it's something that would be in the middle ground, where we don't know, the person has to say that he's the type that uses it, and hence he's designating it, because or else it's either muktzah or not. So it's one of these things that some people do use it, some people don't. So he's saying he could stand over it, and as the Mishnah continues on Amud Beis, on Erev Shabbos B'Shvi'as, he could go to something that it would be Muktzah unless he designates it. So he can go to that before Shabbos, stand right over it. And it's Erev Shabbos in a Shemitah year. Now the reason why we're picking a Shemitah year is because there's no halachas of Meisr that apply on the Shemitah year. And therefore the only thing that you're lacking in being able to consume this produce on Shabbos, to use these items, whatever it is that's Muktzah, is preparation. Now, really essentially the same halacha would apply if Maisu is already taken off, and we're talking about even the other years, the other 6 years, not the Shemitah year. But the only reason why I picked the Shemitah year is because it commonly, generally, an item that is Muktzah, which is what we're talking about, unless if you verbally designate it and you say that you want it to be prepared, is an item that did not have its Maisus taken off from it before already. Because what's the classical case of Muktzah is what's called Gregus B'Tzimukim, these dried figs and these raisins that they're putting out to dry, where generally people do not take off Maisur until you finish the process of what you're doing it with. They first gather it, they reap it, they gather it, and they put it out to dry. So they didn't yet take off the Maisus yet. So therefore, and that's the case we're talking about Muktzah, so that's why we picked Shemitah year, where there's no problem about Maisur, because the other years you would have to also have Maisur, and that's not generally the case. But the same halacha would apply if it was not Shemitah year, but the Maisus were taken off. And the only thing you're missing about being able to use it on Shabbos is the fact that it's Muktzah, and you want to go ahead and designate it. So what the person could do is, V'ayman, he says, Mikan ani oichel amacher. From here, in regards to this whole pile, I'm going to eat from tomorrow. And that's enough because the Tanakhama holds of the concept of yesh breira, that there is retroactive clarification. In other words, although you didn't designate which ones you're going to eat, but on Shabbos, when you eat those, so retroactively, that was clarified that that is what you had prepared and that's what you had meant to eat. The Chum said that no. They say you could do this verbalization of making it prepared, but it's only Ad Sheyishim until he makes a sign, the Yom, and he says, Mikan Vad Kan. From here until here, he designates exactly which ones he wants to use because they do not hold to the concept of Breira to say that you could just then retroactively clarify which are the ones that you wanted by the fact that you ate those. That's not the case. You have to say which ones you want to use, then they're going to be prepared and not Muktzah. So now, relating to our Mishnah, the Gemara brings the following introduction, which then leads into a question, which then comes in relation to the discussion of our Mishnah. We learned over there in the Mishnah Masechtas Maisus. The Mishnah tells us, Tinaiki shetamnu te'enim. If there were children that hid the figs, and they hid it either in the fields or in the garden, and they, in other words, when it says they hid it, they went and they prepared it so they could have it to eat on Shabbos. And they did this Me'erev Shabbos from before Shabbos. Now, v'shakchu v'loy asru. They forgot, and they didn't take off the Maisus to then allow one to eat on Shabbos. Now, in that, the Mishnah tells us, l'matzah Shabbos lo yoichlu. Even on Matzah Shabbos, you can't eat this Elam Kin Asru only if you first take off Maisus. Now, the Chiddush of this Mishnah is saying that although the halacha is that Tevel, which is untithed produce, is not Chayv and Maiser to say that you cannot even eat it in what's called an Achilas Arai, a temporary eating, only until you come into the entryway of the house or the Chatzon. That is, when you first get the produce, one can eat, although you have to first take up Trumas and Maisus, or else there's Tevel and there's Chiyuv and Misa on that. However, an achilas aroy, a temporary eating, which is not a meal type of eating, is allowed if it has not yet gone into the opening of one's house or one's courtyard. Now, however, on that, the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Bava Metzia that Shabbos is different, because Shabbos is chashev, and therefore even a temporary snacking type of eating on Shabbos would be considered an achilas keva, and therefore you would have to take off Trumas Maisus. You couldn't even eat achilas aroy on Shabbos. Now, that is what the Mishnah in Masechtas Maisus is saying, this chiddush, that if, let's say, these children or anyone goes and prepares these foods for Shabbos, then it already becomes kavua, it already becomes permanent, established types of foods. Now, the reason why they picked children was an added chiddush, to tell you that that they their process, their thought, can work in creating a reality in halacha when they go and do an action based on that thought. And that is, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shulam, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, that although a katan, a minor's thoughts do not convey halachic status on something, and therefore because children wanted to eat these fruits on Shabbos should not make them into something kavua, that is what the Mishnah is teaching the Chiddush. But if they did an action also based on that thought, which they went and they hid it somewhere to prepare it so it should be ready for Shabbos, that Maisa, it reveals their thought, and even a katan, that type of a thought would have a halachic reality, and therefore it does become prepared for Shabbos. Hence, it's now already considered nechilas kavah, no matter how you would eat it, and therefore you can't eat it until you take off trumas and maizes. Now, the reason why we picked figs was because figs are things that are already nigmar malachzer. They're already considered completed. Unless, if you thought about it, that you don't want to eat it in its natural state, but you first want to send it out to the fields to dry up or to turn into gregris, that is what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is saying, that regarding something that it's already completed, it already has the halachic status of being kavu of a meiser, even without seeing the entryway of the house, again, because of Shabbos, that it's being prepared for Shabbos. Now, however, regarding something that was not nigmar malachtoi, which is not the case of what we were discussing of figs, this Mishnah Masechtas Maaser does not tell us if Shabbos will be kaved or not. And again, the Chiddush of this Mishnah is that on Shabbos, Shabbos itself creates a new reality. That no matter what you're eating, even the snack, which is generally permitted if you didn't yet bring it in from the fields, generally that would be permitted, even though it's tevel. Shabbos creates a new reality that even the snacky type of food would be aser. And even the preparation for Shabbos already gives it that status. However, we said two components. We said that it was a child doing it, and we said that it was figs. Now, regarding the child, that was just an added chiddush to tell you that a novelty in the halacha, that even though it's a child, his action will create a new reality, and consider it that it's already Shabbistic, hence even a small snacking of it will be forbidden. But the other component was the fact that it was a fig. Now, figs are items that are completely ready. They already have their processes finished. You don't have to do anything more to it. You don't have to thresh it. You don't have to do anything else. Therefore, that is where we see the Mishnah Masechtas Maaser, which says that Shabbos will create the new reality about it, that it's forbidden to do it in Achilas Arai. But one thing we don't see, which will come into the Gemara's question later on, and what would be the halacha, which Shabbos also created to be kavua, and that is you can't even snack from it, even though it didn't come to the opening of the house or the field, if it's not nigma malachtia. The processes of it, for example, by grain, which you didn't finish all the processes, would that also create it into be kavua, that you can't even eat Achilas Arai anymore? That was one Mishnah that the Gemara introduces with. But it's not Nami. There's also another Mishnah Masechtas Maaser that says as follows. Hamaver, if someone spreads out te'enim bechatzerei, figs in his courtyard, liktzeis, to dry up, which is he wants to make them into what's called kitzias. Now, after they're made into these dried figs, then they go ahead and they squash it together into these igule devela, make it into these cakes, these round cakes of figs. Now, so therefore, he doesn't want to go ahead and have it in this state. He wants it to dry out first. So on that, the Mishnah says, so his children and his whole family could eat temporary, they could snack from that, even before they go ahead and take off Maaser, and they're exempt from taking off Maaser. Now the reason is because the Chatzar, their courtyard, will not be Kaveyed with just being there, only if it's something that's Nigmar Malachtai. In other words, although we said that there is a creation of a Chiv of Maaser, once it enters the courtyard, so why over here, when he brings it into his courtyard and he spreads it out to dry up, isn't it going to be usher to eat even achil sarai? The reason is because it has not finished its process yet. Because although generally we say figs are finished, but not if you're a gadol and you decide that you want it to first dry out. That means the process is not finished yet. It's not nigmar malachtai. So since it's not nigmar malachtai, even though it came into the one's yard, which generally is what creates the chiv of not even being able to eat achil sarai, here it would be permitted to continue eating achil sarai because it has not been finished the process yet. Now, based on these two Mishnayos, the Gemara brings the following question. B'yimnei Rav Merav Nachman, Shabbos. Regarding Shabbos, now the question is Shabbos like the courtyard, which the courtyard creates a chiv of Maaser, or actually is Shabbos even better than that, and it'll create a chiv of Maaser for things that even the Chatzar wouldn't create? In other words, Ma'u shetikva mukza, which in this context, muktzah doesn't mean as it's generally used for the halachas of Shabbos and muktzah. In this context, what muktzah means is something that was not nigma malacht yet, that didn't have its processes finished yet. So the question is, what would Shabbos be in regards to establishing a permanence of something that didn't even have its processes finished yet, lemaiser, regards the halachas of being obligated maiser yet, but davashalay nigma malachdim, regarding something that didn't have its work finished yet, which Rashi explains it. Obviously, this is a redundancy of the term of mukta, it's just explaining what did the word term mukta mean, which means something that didn't have its processes finished yet. Now, the Gemara explains this question. Why would we assume, or why would we entertain that Shabbos would be mochamer, that it could create this halachic reality of being kavua, even when it's not even going to be nigma malachdim, which although we know the classic, what makes the obligation is when it comes into the courtyard, that even that wouldn't make the chiyuv if it's not nigma malachdim, but maybe Shabbos, yeah. So the Gemara explains, do we say, since it's a pasuk in Yeshayah, that you should proclaim for Shabbos that it's a delight. Now, what we see is that the pasuk is calling the consumption of Shabbos an oinig, a delight. And therefore, kava, the pasuk is creating some type of a permanence of a kviyas regarding the eating of Shabbos, where there's no more achilas arayah on Shabbos, it's only going to be permanence. And therefore, no matter what it is, even something that its processes would not finish yet, it doesn't make a difference. To consume this on Shabbos, it automatically has a kviyas, and therefore it's going to be kavu, and you can't eat it, unless, because any achilas kava cannot be eaten until you take off trumas and maisus. Or maybe, no, but davash nigma malachti kava, you're right, it has a certain kviyas, but only something that its processes have been finished yet, but davash nigma malachti kava, but just like the chatzar, that where if it didn't finish its process yet, that it's not going to be considered kviyas, and then you could snack from it even on Shabbos. So Malaysa, he responded to him, Shabbos kivas, Shabbos establishes. In other words, if something was designated for Shabbos, it's going to be usur even for Matzah Shabbos. Now, if it wasn't designated for Shabbos, then on Shabbos, it's anyways always going to be usur. And that's because the consumption of Shabbos is always considered a permanence. But regarding Matzah Shabbos is what our discussion is about, that they will not create this permanence if it's not, if it wasn't designated for Shabbos, it's not going to create that for something that doesn't have the chiyuv of maisus yet. However, Shabbos will establish if you're designated for Shabbos. Essentially, he was answering him that yes, Shabbos is so strong, like the pasuk calls it an einig, that any consumption of Shabbos, even something that's not nigma malachtoi, is going to be considered kavua for maaser, and you can't snack on any type of food. Even if you spread it out in your fields and you don't have an interest in eating it yet and it's not finished, still Shabbos establishes that chiyuv, again, if you designated, like these children did, that they designated for Shabbos. Then even matzah Shabbos, even if it's not nigma malachtoi, you can't eat achilas arayah from it anymore. Now that the Gemara asked, Amalei, so he said to him, why? We should say that Shabbos has the same halachic status as the courtyard, and that is machatzah in the kavas, just like the courtyard does not establish it a permanence, only by something where its processes have been finished. So too Shabbos, why should it be any more stringent? It shouldn't also not establish it unless it has its process finished. So Malay, he responded to him, Limud Aruchu B'yadena. This is an organized teaching that we have in our hands. Shabbos Kavaz, that we know that Shabbos does establish a permanence, whether it's something that has already finished, whether it's something that didn't finish. This, we have a Masaira on this teaching, and that's why I'm telling you that it's going to establish a kviyas, and you can't snack no matter what process it's on. Now, on that, Omar Zuchabarid of Nachman, and this is why this discussion came in, that Afananam Tinina, exactly what he said, we also learned in our Mishnah. Because what our Mishnah say, our Mishnah said as follows. V'oid Omer B'liezer, also moreover B'liezer said, Oymer Adam ala Muktzah. So he said a person could be standing over something that's Muktzah. Now, generally, something that's Muktzah means to say, as we had explained, it's something that you did not finish your malacha up until now. As we said, that generally those are the things that are out in the fields, which that's why they're Muktzah. So it's, we're talking about that it wasn't Nigmar Malachtoi. And it says that a person could stand over that on Arab Shabbos, B'Shvi'as and the Shemitah, and he could say, I want to eat from this tomorrow. Now, that he makes the following diyuk. Time of the Shvi'as, now the reason why one is allowed to do this on Arab Shabbos is because it's the Shemitah year. The Lav Bar Esri, who as we already explained, that there's no Chiyuv of Maestros on the Shemitah year. And that is as the Mechilta learns out from the Pasuk in Shmei Chav Gimel, where it says, V'ochleb yoini amechav, v'yitrim toichel chayas asada, and the leftover the animals will eat, that is just like animals eat without taking off Maestr, so to a person could eat without taking off Maestr. So, Shemitah, there's no Chiyuv of Maestr. Now that's why, now there's only, so the only problem you would encounter to eat this produce on Shabbos would be that it wasn't prepared, it's Muktzah. So therefore you could designate it, whether like the opinion, the Mishnah that you have to, like the Chum that you have to say which ones, or like Rabbi Eliezer, but you could orally designate that from before Shabbos. But the inference is, HaBishar Shnei Shavua, but regarding the other 6 years of the Shemitah year, HaChinami De'asir, it would sound like that it would be forbidden tomorrow to eat it, even if one were to say that I want to eat it tomorrow, because of the problem of Meiser. Now, my timer, what would be the reason why by the other years of the Shemitah year, it would be forbidden? In other words, the question is as follows. Regarding the other years of the Shemitah, where it doesn't have a kavoy, it doesn't have a kfiz yet for Meiser, if it didn't yet see the entryway of one's home, and that is even though one's home actually doesn't become established, only if it comes through the gateway, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Bava Metzeiot Daf Pei Ches Amud Aleph. Now, regarding this one that entered, it wasn't even their kavua, because it wasn't Nigma Malachti, its processes were not finished. And we said before that even the chatzar that does establish the requirements of taking a Terugim Samaisis is only when it's completed. Now, on that, a house and the chatzar have the same halachas as the Gemara there says in Masechet Bava Metzeiot. So, and that is what the Gemara is trying to bring a raya from our Mishnah. Why did our Mishnah say anything about the year of Shemitah? It should say that it sounds like that, but the other years is going to be Aser. Now, why would the other years be Aser? There's no Chiv of Maisers because it wasn't finished yet. It wasn't Nigra Malachtoi. So even if you bring it into your house, there's no Chiv of Maisers. So essentially, just like the Chiddush of Shemitah, which is, okay, so there's no Chiv of Maisers in Shemitah, so now the only thing that's in your way is Muktzah, so you can verbally designate it, fine, you're on your way, but the other years, that's the Chiv of Maiser, now that's a problem. But there is no Chiv of Maiser the other year. Because we're talking about a case of that we said that we're assuming the Muktzah was the Gregor Sitzimukim, that it's not finished yet drying up. It's not yet Nigma Malachtoi. So even if you brought it into your house, there would be no Chiv of Maisers. So why pick the Shemitah year? Now, that is what his raya is. Lav mishum de Shabbos kava. Isn't it because, and this is what he was saying, because Shabbos is going to establish it in the chiyuv of Terumas HaMaisers, even if it's not Nigma Malachtoi. And as we said, that's why only in the Shemitah year it's going to be permitted, where there's no chiyuv whatsoever. But the other years, even though it's not Nigma Malachtoi, as we said, because it's Muktzah out in the fields, but still Shabbos will establish, and therefore that seems to clearly illustrate this halacha that he was saying, that Shabbos is different, it's more stringent than the Chatzar, it actually will establish it for the Chiyuv of Terumas HaMaisers, even if it's like Nigma Malachtoi, and that's why it picked the Shemitah and not the other years, because Shabbos itself will create the Chiyuv. And that the Gemara says, like, actually it's not a raya from a Mishnah. Because Shani Hasam, our Mishnah is different. There's a different concern that we have. And it's Kivan to Amar Mikan and the Oichel HaMachar, since, and the reason why he's doing this, is to take care of the problem of Muktzah. So he verbally designates and he says, you know what, I'm going to eat from this pile of fruit tomorrow. Now, with his verbalization, with his talking about it, he has done what's called achshavei. He has made it significant by saying that he's going to want to eat it. He now turns it into a food item. That is kavala ilavei. That is actually what makes the kviyas on it, not Shabbos. Really, essentially, we could say that Shabbos is not like you're trying to say. Shabbos will not be kaveyas on the Terumas HaMaisers if it's not nigma malachtoi. Now, although these items are not nigma malachtoi, so then why do we pick Shemitah and not the other years? Is because by verbalizing, which we're doing for the Isra of Muktzah, but that will affect also the halachas of Meiser, because that makes it now into Meichel. Hey, you're going to eat from this tomorrow? What do you mean? You didn't finish the process. Oh, that means obviously that it is finished. You're calling it an Eichel, and that's why it's going to be a problem of Meiser for the other years, not because of Shabbos, but because of your speech. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Ihachi, if that's the reason, nothing to do with Shabbos, but rather because his words is what making it into Kviz, then the Gemara asks, that my area, the why did we have to say this chiddush of our Mishnah regarding Shabbos? Afil b'chol nami, even during the weekday, this halacha would apply. In other words, we should have said this chiddush regarding the weekday, and it should have been in Seydiz Roim. It shouldn't have been over here in Masechtiz Beit. In other words, here we were discussing the halachas of Yamtiv. They should have argued regarding, which is essentially what it sounds like they're arguing in our Mishnah. They're arguing about regarding what can you make something that's muktzah prepared. One opinion, Rabbi Elazar says, you could just say, from these and this, yesh b'er. And the Chacham said, no, you have to specify from where to where. Now, so they should have picked a simpler case, that of gezelis of different birds, as Bisham Basil argued on Daf Yoram and Aleph, regarding b'er, can we say retroactively those are the ones or those are not? Why pick this case, which, if we would say, like we were saying before, that it's regarding Shabbos, now that's why we would pick that, because it has that relationship regarding it. But if it has nothing to do with that, so why pick this case of the which ones is going to be that from the field if it has no relationship whatsoever what we're discussing? Just pick a simpler case of a gezelis. Now, that the Gemara says that no. Hakamash balan. There is a chiddush here. There is a reason why we pick necessarily this case of Shabbos regarding the fruits that are out in the field. because we wanted to tell you a different chiddush in halacha. By the way, when we were saying that this machlokes in our Mishnah regarding hachana, regarding something that's muktzah, how we could prepare it for Shabbos. So together with that, we also mentioned another area of halacha. And that is, we wanted to tell you that the other years of the Shemitah year, it will not be forbidden if you prepared it and you designated from before Shabbos. The only reason why it will be Aser, and that's why we're picking Shemitah year, is because of the Iser of Meiser itself. But however, it is considered prepared. It's not going to be considered muktzah. Now, the chiddush in that is that the Tevel Muchen Hu Eitzel Shabbos, is that we consider untithed produce as prepared, not as muktzah, for Shabbos. Now, although there's an Isser of separating Trumas and Maisus from the Tevel, hence that's going to be considered muktzah Machmas Isser, it's not considered muktzah. I actually consider that you could have technically used for it on Shabbos, because Shem Ava V'tikna Mesukin, because if one violates that Isser Rabbanan, and he does separate the Trumas and Maisus, he fixes it, it will be considered fixed. And hence, one's going to be able to use it, and therefore it's not considered muktzah. And therefore then, actually, if someone does that, he can go ahead and eat from those produce that was tithed on Shabbos. Now, we do not say that this preparation will not work, and that is because we could have thought, as we just explained, that there's an element of what's called muktzah machmas isser, which means to say that there are certain different halachas of muktzah why things are considered not usable for Shabbos, hence you can't even move it. One of them is because if there's an isser involved in being able to utilize this, then we can't go ahead, like, let's say there's a candle that's lit. So there's an isser involved in using it, which would be extinguishing the candle. There would be different halachic problems. So you can't use it. It's considered muktzah. Now, the same thing would apply over here. It's tevel, untithed produce. You can't use it. So therefore, we would say that the person has it out of mind. Therefore, it's muktzah. That is what the incidental chiddush that our Mishnah is telling us is that since this prohibition of taking off the trumas and maisis on Shabbos actually minatari is permitted, it's only rabbinically, therefore we don't consider it muktzah machmas isser. Now, and this is what we're seeing, this is the chiddush how the Mishnah is telling it, because from the fact that the Mishnah told us as follows. The Mishnah said, oymen adam ala muktzah l'gitchil b'shviz. A person could initially, no problem, before Shabbos, stand over something that's muktzah, and he could designate it and use it on Shabbos. Now, the reason why we picked Shemitah is because there's no problem about Meiser. Now, but the chiddush that we're telling you in the Gemara is, but don't make an inference of that. However, there would be an Isser of Muktzah by the other Shemitah years because of Muktzah Machmas Isser, because of the Isser taking off the Hafrash Shemitah Meis from the Tevel. Rather, what the Mishnah is telling us is that, but on the other Shemitah years, don't stand there and say that an Erev Shabbos that you're going to use it tomorrow, because actually the words that you're using, again, as we said in the Gemara, that's no Raya from a Mishnah. It's not Shabbos, it's the words that you're using that makes it into something that's now Chayv Meiser. And then since you're making a chayv ma'aser, even though it's not making melachtoi, so tomorrow you're not going to be able to eat it because it's tevel. As Rashi explains, if you would assume that the deek in our Mishnah of the Tana is by saying that no, the reason why it's only a Shemitah is because actually in the other years of the 6 years, there would be an Isser Muktzah that would stay on it because of the Isser of tevel, then the Mishnah should have used other words. It should have said, Ha'imid ala muktzah erev Shabbos b'shvi, it's only in the Shemitah year. He says, Mikana ni erech l'macha, from here I'm going to eat tomorrow. Then they should have ended off by saying, Ha'rezem in amuchim. For that is considered prepared. Then the deek, the inference would have been, oh, but the other years of the Shemitah years, it's not considered muchen, it's not considered prepared because of the Isser Tavel, because you can't separate the Trumas and Maisis, because even though it's not Nigma Malachta, it's considered Nigma Malachta because of your words by designating it as an eichel. But now we can't make such a deek that it's also because of muktzah. Rather, the only reason why we're saying it's muta in the Shemitah year and not by the other years is because the Isser of Meiser that there is on it. So, in other words, yes, if one were to go ahead and separate on Shabbos, you can go ahead and eat it because it's no more problem with Tevel, you took away. And there is no problem about, and that's why we picked Shabbos, because yeah, we could have argued about Gezalas. But we wanted to tell you that there's no problem about Muktzah Machmas Isser because it's only rabbinic, it's not biblically problematic because there's no chiyuv of taking off. There's no Isra of taking of Trumas and Maisers on Shabbos Minat Torah. It's only Midrabanan. And that's why we picked the case of Shabbos. But again, essentially, the Chiddush, the Chiyuv of this Halacha, why it's established for Shabbos, even though it's not Nigma Malachti, is not because necessarily, therefore there's no Raya from Mishnah because Shabbos is Kaveyat. Maybe Shabbos is only Kaveya as Chatzar is only if it's Nigma Malachti. But rather, it's one's verbalization that's saying, I'm going to eat from this tomorrow, that says, oh, you're going to eat from it, so therefore it's an Eichel, therefore has a Chiyuv of Meiser. And that's why the Deek is only in the Shemitah year. Could you say this, but the others you should not, because it's not going to help you of making it non-Muktzah, because you'll still have the problem of that you didn't take off the Trumas and Maisis. But that is another chiddush in the inference of it by saying that, yes, it's only because of that there's no point in doing it because it didn't say in a menamuchin, that it would say it's only menamuchin by on Shmitiyah, but not menamuchin by the other years. It actually would be muchin. It wouldn't be a problem of mukta, but it wouldn't help you because anyways, you have the chiyuv of trumas and maisis, which you didn't take off, and you have the chiyuv now because you made it completed by your saying that you're going to want to use it tomorrow. But again, it would be based on one's words and not because of Shabbos.